A Final Walk. My Walk with My Heavenly Father. That thing you are searching for has been right beside you your whole life. I realized that my dad was right beside me, and our Heavenly Father is right beside you. I love speaking to youth and had the privilege to travel to different small towns in Texas, sharing a presentation called Sex, God, and Me. You can find it on the website at www.awalkwithmyfather.com. As it happens often, my dad was with me on this occasion, and we had a long ride back home. Most of the ride, we listened to a pastor presenting a sermon series based on our life as a potential defendant in our own trial. The prosecution was going for life without God, and we had to put up our defense. Our life was put under a microscope, and the world was called as witnesses. The prosecution was ready with a life of evidence. Who we let down, when we gave up and lost faith, each person we betrayed, each thought and behavior we didn't know was being recorded, all our moments of selfishness, coupled with our need to satisfy our own desires and prove ourselves, all fair game and all shown to the public. It came time for the final verdict of the jurors. Had we done enough to prove our innocence? Had we done enough good to outweigh the negative? It didn't look good. The foreman began to read the verdict, and then the judge stopped him in mid-sentence as he received a letter from the clerk. "There has been new evidence just received," the judge exclaimed. "The defendant is released with the apologies of the court. Although we appreciate the time and effort of the jury, the defendant is not guilty." The prosecution objected. The jurors were stunned. The courtroom was outraged. All were silenced and overruled. No amount of what others think or do can bridge the gap for your relationship with Christ. The verdict is not from your peers. The evidence to secure you're not guilty was a single moment in time, a straight path to God bridged by the cross, a statement of repentance, a willingness to admit our mistakes and ask Christ to live in our hearts, to put your faith in Jesus Christ, who loves you and paid your debt and pronounces you not guilty. My dad pulled up into our driveway and looked over at me. He had obviously been listening the whole way home. I could tell he wanted to say something, and yet he stayed silent. This was his time. But every thought must have been telling him to wait, to stay quiet, to let this moment pass. I had seen this many times as a youth minister and pastor. The Holy Spirit was present. I asked my dad if he wanted to share with me what he was thinking, and he did something he never does. He said, "Yes, I want to know Christ like that, like you do." I turned to my father and introduced him to my Heavenly Father right in our own front yard. He prayed that God would forgive him and asked for Christ to guide him and be with him. He cried, I cried, and I'm sure a host of angels cried with us. "Thank you, Lord, for the gift of salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ. I ask that you be with the person reading or listening to these words, that they would come to know you as I know you, that they would ask for forgiveness of their past actions and sins, and that through their faith in your Son, Jesus Christ, they would forever be your child. I pray this with them and thank you for all you do as they too get to walk with you, our Heavenly Father. Amen." If you haven't ever read these verses, please allow Christ's story to speak to you on how he runs, not walks, when we turn to him. Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32. The parable of the lost son. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants had food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, His father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and now is found." So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. "Your brother has come," he replied, "and your father has killed the fatted calf because he is back safe and sound." The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you killed the fatted calf for him." "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found."